call to worship today, I want to bring your attention to Jeremiah chapter 18, where God tells Jeremiah that He wants him to go on a field trip. He wants him to go down to a potter's house, and He wants him just to witness what's taking place there and that God is going to speak to him. So he goes down, he watches the potter at work and how he takes the clay and begins to mold the vessel and so forth. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying in verse 6, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? That is such a powerful and profound question. Here's Jeremiah, he's watching this, he sees the clay put over onto the wheel, and the wheel begins to spin, and he begins to form and make. And God reminds Israel, through Jeremiah the prophet, can I not do the same thing with you? Now what is he saying? First of all, we are the clay, or Israel was the clay, but we are the clay, he is the potter. The clay does not tell the potter what he wants to be. The clay does not speak up and say, you know, I really don't want to be a spittoon. I would prefer if I could be a very nice vase that would be in somebody's house and hold flowers or people admire something that was beautiful. The clay has nothing to say. It's all the work of whom? The potter. He goes on to say, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine hand, O house of Israel. What had Israel forgotten? Israel had forgotten her place. And I'm afraid today that there are many in the church that have forgotten their place. You know, we serve a wonderful God, and we live in the time of grace, whereby God in His greatness and His goodness is reaching out to a lost and dying world. But don't let us forget our place. We are not the potter. We are the clay. And it would be well for us to be reminded of that on a daily basis. Our hearts get lifted up with pride, arrogance. We begin to think we're something. We begin to think that we can actually do God's work without His power. That we can accomplish things for Him without having His direct will in our lives. That's when we begin to think we're not clay anymore. That we've become the potter. And you know, God spoke to Jeremiah here in the Old Testament. He said, I want you to go out and I want you to tell the people of Israel what they are. They're clay. Not a very popular message to be told that you're clay. Not a very endearing message for Jeremiah to have to tell. But that's the reality. And you and I need to realize as His people, that just because we are His children does not mean that we move up the ladder somehow and we become equal with God. We are still clay, and we need to have God's will performed in our lives on a daily basis. May we be submissive to Him. We want God to work in us. We want God to work through us, and we want God to make us into what He wants us to be, what He's declared us to be in Jesus Christ. And so that requires a submissive spirit, and I pray that we'll have that spirit today as we've gathered together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take our hymn books, please, and turn to hymn number 43 this morning. Hymn number 43, we want to begin our worship service today by singing together, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Let's stand together as we sing.
Thank you.
Let's remain standing together for prayer.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you this morning that we could be here into your house to sing praises to your name, to glorify you in everything. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you give us wisdom and understanding of thy word. And Father, we thank you that the wisdom and understanding that you give us helps us to know how to live our lives. And Father, we just pray that each one of us will do what you would have us to do and be the person you would have us to be. Father, most of all, we thank you for Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for it, that he died on the cross for our sins, that we don't have to answer for those sins. And Father, we don't deserve what you did for us, and we ask for forgiveness. Father, we don't deserve anything you give us. You've blessed us all so much, and we don't deserve it, but we thank you, Father, for that. We thank you for everything that you give us. We thank you for this country. We thank you for the freedoms that we have, that they have not all been taken away, and they seem to be taking them one at a time, Father. And Father, we just look to you and ask for your guidance, your help, and we ask for your mercy and your grace in these times. These times have been shown to us in your word. We know that what's happening now has happened before because your people were disobedient. We ask for forgiveness, Father, for our country, for the sins of our country, for all the things that go on here, Father, and we ask for your help to get rid of it. And Lord, we pray now that you'll be with those people who are our military people who are out in these different countries serving our country and trying to keep our freedoms for us, Father. We ask your watch care over them. We ask your blessings upon them. And those who believe in you and put their trust and faith in you, Father, we pray that you'll give them the strength and the courage to share your word with others that don't know you. And Father, we just pray that the ones that are in Afghanistan, the ones who are in Kuwait, we pray that you'll bring them back to us safely, that things will be settled there, and they'll be brought back home. And Father, we also want to thank you for the missionaries who are out serving you in the different countries. Father, we know that their lives are in danger. And Father, we pray that you'll watch over them, that you'll care for them. We ask your blessings upon their ministry, Father. Give them strength and courage and good health that they can share your word with each one of them that is there in that country, that many hearts will be saved, Father. Many hearts will be turned to you, and many souls will be saved. Father, we pray that you'll help us to support them, not only in prayer, but financially, and whatever needs they have, Father. We just pray that we'll never forget them. We'll always lift them up to you. We thank you, Father, that each one that is here this morning. We thank you for those who participate in the services, the ones who play the music. And Father, we just ask your blessings upon each one of them. We ask your blessings upon our speaker. Pray that you'll give him the words to share with us. And Father, we ask that you give each one of us a blessing from your word. And give us all a good day today, Father, and make it an enjoyable day. And we thank you for it. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. Let's turn together now to 372. Our Lord, before he ascended back up into heaven, told his disciples, he said in Matthew 28 and verse 20, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And though his physical presence would not be with the disciples, his spirit would continue with them and they would know his presence. 372, "Moment by moment I'm kept in his love." 372.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Roger. Let's turn in our hymn books now to 416. 416, Oh, That Will Be Glory For Me. 416. Said? Amen. What a glorious day that will be. Would you take your Bibles, please, this morning and join me at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're in our continuing series in the studies of the book of Matthew, and specifically we've been taking our time going through the Beatitudes, and today we come down to verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Can you name this morning one successful peacemaker in the world today? No, because there isn't one. There have been a lot of men that have come down through history that sought to bring peace. Neville Chamberlain said, we can have peace in our time, back before World War II took place. And if we could just appease Hitler, everything will be all right. It wasn't all right. And before long, bombs were falling on London, and Neville Chamberlain was out of a job. There wasn't any peace to be had in his time, and there hasn't been any peace. There have been periods where there's been breaks, where it's been peaceful. That is, we haven't had a great deal of fighting. But while we're here upon this earth, there will be no peace. But Jesus Christ is the great peacemaker. Amen? The Bible tells us in Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the peacemaker. One of the most obvious facts of history and of human experience is that peace does not characterize man's earthly existence. There is no peace now for two reasons. Number one, the existence of Satan and his angels at work in this world. And then number two, the wickedness of the human heart. Those are the two things that guarantee that we will not have peace until the Prince of Peace comes and rules here upon the earth. The fall of the angels and the fall of mankind guarantees that there will be no peace in this world. Satan and man are engaged with the God of peace in a battle, now get this, a battle for sovereignty. Who's going to be in charge? Man thinks that he's in charge, and we are witnessing today the amalgamation of people's beliefs in this very thing. We are God. We are God. And so we answer to ourselves. Even our president this week came out attacking Protestantism and Catholicism, saying the reason that we don't have peace is because of religion. Religion can't get along, and so I call upon religious people to get along with each other. Now, what is taking place is that secularism is saying, religion, get out of the way. We're coming through. You can't bring peace, religion, so we're going to bring it. And the great secularist of all time, Antichrist, is going to come and he's going to say, worship me. If you have to worship, the false prophet said, if you have to worship, worship him. All right? If you want to worship, we're not against worship, you worship the Antichrist. But he is the great secularist of all time. And he says, I will give you, the government will give you peace. That's where all peace comes from, right? That's what's being taught in public education. That's what's being taught in our public universities, that peace ultimately comes from the government. But that's not where peace comes from. Peace comes from God alone, through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the Greek word translated peace here means literally the making of reconciliation. And that's going to be our theme this morning, the making of reconciliation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing upon the message. Father, we do thank You this morning for Jesus Christ our Savior. And we thank You this morning for the peace that Jesus Christ brings to the sinner. How we can move from enmity with Thee to peacefulness. The laying down of our arms as a result of the work of Jesus Christ in the heart. Lord, I pray this morning that we might capture the essence of this verse of Scripture given to us so many years ago, but the heartbeat of God. For those that are peacemakers are the sons of God, the children of God. I pray, dear Father, that we might understand our ministry in this world, that we serve the Prince of Peace, and that we've been called to share that reconciliation with a lost and dying world. We ask now, Father, Your blessing upon the preaching of Your Word. We pray that we might give our hearts to Thee during this time, that we would not be so busy thinking about the cares of the coming week and the schedule and all the things that we have to do this afternoon, that we miss the truths that You have for us. We pray, Father, that Your Holy Spirit would work, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The word peace means the making of reconciliation. Reconciliation in the Scriptures is the means by which sinners are reconciled and brought into a state of favor with God. Now remember, please, go back to the Garden of Eden. What happened? Adam willfully disobeyed by taking of the fruit, eating thereof. The only command that had been given to him was that they not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They could eat of any other fruit of the garden, but they could not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What did he do? He disobeyed God. As a result, as the federal head of the human race, sin passed upon all man, all mankind, all are sinners. Now, what happened? Favor was broken between God and man. Remember what God had done every day in the cool of the evening? He came to walk in fellowship with Adam, with Eve. Well, that was broken. That was broken by sin and disobedience. And so God escorted them outside of the garden, and He placed an angel with a flaming sword, and He said, you cannot re-enter into this place of peace, this place of comfort, because now you're a sinner and our fellowship is broken. But praise be to God, before the foundation of the world, God determined in love that you and I would be made into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And the way in which that would happen, this reconciliation would take place, would be that His Son, Jesus Christ, would be our substitute. That He would bear in His body on Calvary's tree all of our sin, whereby God could reconcile us to Himself. That was God's plan. And it was completely fulfilled in Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ now is at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says, making intercession for you and for me. And He has made it possible that you can be reconciled, that you can declare peace through Jesus Christ. You can lay down your arms. You see, folks, that's the problem of sin. Sin is the problem of you taking up arms against God. And what is the theme? What is the theme of the soldier of this world? I want to be God. I want to be God. That's the heart of self-esteem. I don't want somebody telling me anything. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. Don't tell me I need Jesus. Don't tell me because I'm the captain of my ship. I'm the author and finisher of my faith. But God says, no, you're a sinner. And my Son has made a way of reconciliation whereby you can come to me through Him, lay down your arms, and I will give to you peace that passeth understanding. Now that's the picture that's given to us here in this passage of Scripture. A blessing is pronounced here on all who, having themselves received reconciliation with God through the cross, now strive through the message that's been given to them by Jesus Christ to be a conduit by which God can impart the message of reconciliation to a lost world. Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, turn there please, because I want you to see this, very familiar passage to believers, but we need to be reminded of it. Notice please, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. A new relationship has taken place through reconciliation. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and notice, please, and hath given to us, who is us? Those who have been reconciled. He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, or the ministry, let's put it another way, of peace. The message of peace that God has declared through Jesus Christ. Reconciliation. That you can come to God through His Son and that He will declare you to be a son. Whereby you set aside all the accoutrements of warfare and you take up the mantle of Jesus Christ. Folks, this is a wonderful ministry that we have. We are peacemakers. Oh, how the liberal theologians have taken this. Oh, we're responsible to go into the world and stop all the wars. It's our job to quell all the anger and the strife by working things out with each other. It's not possible. Not possible through human means and measures. But this is our ministry. What is the Christian's ministry? You have the ministry of reconciliation. Your message is this. Let's go on. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, what? Not only the ministry of reconciliation, but the word of reconciliation. The word of peace. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's the word of an ambassador. We go out and we admonish those that are out in this world without Jesus Christ, be ye reconciled to God. He's already reconciled you unto Himself. Now you be reconciled unto God. That is the ministry of a peacemaker. Now, that's very important to understand. You have to understand your role. You have to understand what God is saying. Now, The gospel of peace is at the same time the preaching of Christ crucified. And this is where the liberal theologians, the modernists, and those that rejected the idea of the cross went another way. They said, we can't reconcile peace with a cross. But you have to understand something. The sinner must die for his sin. You understand? The wages of sin is equal to death. Jesus Christ had to endure the cross. He had to die on Calvary's tree because God the Father had to be satisfied that justice was meted out because of sin. God cannot be righteous. God cannot be holy and let punishment slip by on sin. Do you understand that? And so God, being perfectly righteous and perfectly just, poured out all of His wrath upon His Son, who represented all of mankind and all of mankind's sin and wickedness and evil. And He bore that sin debt on the cross, whereby God, through that work, was reconciled to the sinner. Now the pathway is clear. The obstruction of sin and wickedness has now been pushed aside. And now a man and a woman and a child can come to Jesus Christ and be saved. He can enjoy peace with God. Now I want to tell you something, folks. There's nothing more wonderful than to know the peace of Jesus Christ. It's a peace, the Bible says, that passeth all understanding. But you must come by the way of the cross. It's the way of the cross, as the hymn says, that leads home. You cannot have peace without the crucifixion and cross work of Jesus Christ. There is no way. There's absolutely no way that you can have peace that passeth understanding by bypassing the atoning work of Jesus Christ. I've just erased all of religion in this world by that statement. All that they offer, all that they want to give mankind, means nothing. There is no reconciliation in it at all. It's not to be found. Reconciliation is only found in Jesus Christ alone. Now, it is God in Christ who continues to urge men to find in Him reconciliation and lasting peace. The ministry of reconciliation is actually God's call to lost men everywhere to come to Him with all their sin, all their burdens, all their problems, all their difficulties, and simply be reconciled to God. All of that was taken care of at the cross. So come as you are. You can't fix yourself. You cannot fix yourself. Any program that insists upon you doing something to fix yourself is a program that will fail. And it's been proven millions of times over and over throughout the years. Oh, we've got a program that will fix this. We got a program that will fix that. Let me tell you something. If that were possible, God would not have sent His Son. He would have just said, let's just establish a few programs here on earth and we'll take care of that. No, you don't need a program this morning. You need the Savior, Jesus Christ. You need to reconcile yourself to God. He's already reconciled you unto Him. Now you've got to come to the place where you say, I'm going to lay down my arms. I'm not going to pursue self anymore. I'm not going to pursue my ambitions and aims anymore. I'm going to cast them all at Jesus' feet, and I'm going to come to Him, and I'm going to be reconciled unto God. That, folks, is the ministry that every Christian has. It's the ministry of reconciliation, and it's the word of reconciliation. We are going to lost sinners, and we're saying, be ye reconciled unto God. And we'll tell them how God reconciled them unto Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Now, let's move on here. Reconciliation is the capstone of salvation. Now understand what I'm saying here. It is more than having our sins forgiven. And I don't know if there's anything that the sinner can think is more wonderful than having your sins forgiven. That's part and parcel of the gospel. But reconciliation goes further than that. Not only is it divine justice being satisfied, and I'm thankful for that this morning. I am so glad that God, through Jesus Christ, satisfied the law perfectly in behalf of Todd Brainerd. And now the law has been satisfied, and all I had to do was be reconciled unto God. That's wonderful, but reconciliation is beyond that. I want you to see this. Reconciliation involves a changed relationship. A changed relationship with God. Now, how does the Bible describe us? The Bible says that we are at enmity with God. That word simply means that we are at war with God. We know what war is. We've witnessed enough of that. I grew up in the 1960s, as many of you did, during the time of the Vietnam War. And I remember as a young person in 1975, as I watched as helicopters went into Saigon and were trying to get out the people that were in the United States Embassy there, as the whole thing was collapsing. We know what war is. We've seen pictures and film footage of World War II. We've watched as our young men and women have gone to Afghanistan and Iran, some of them not to come back alive. We've witnessed the horrors of war. And I want to tell you something. If you're a sinner this morning, you're at war with God. You're not a person that's just sitting idly by, not hurting anybody. You see, this is the hard thing to get people to understand about being a sinner. A sinner is not just somebody that's nice. It's somebody that's taken up arms against God. You're at war with God. The Bible says that about you. You're at enmity with God. You need to be reconciled. You need to come to a place where you realize that my fighting against God is only going to send me to a devil's hell. That's the outcome. That's how it's going to end. But through Jesus Christ and His reconciliation, I can have peace with God. And I can know that peace in a very real way. That's the picture that's given to us. Reconciliation is the ministry of changing completely from a relationship of war to a relationship of peace. Who does the changing? Who does the changing? Well, it's not God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it wasn't Jesus that changes. It's we that change. We're the ones that are called upon to be reconciled unto God. He's already made the pathway clear, whereby you can come through the way, the truth, and the life. And that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let me take you to another passage of Scripture, Colossians 1, verses 20 through 22. Listen as I read. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. You see the changed relationship there? Going from war now into peace, and that made possible through Jesus Christ. You that were sometimes enemies, fighting against God, through Jesus Christ you've laid down your weapons, and now you have a new relationship, and that is with Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that when God speaks of reconciliation, He did so only of heaven and earth. Notice what's missing. There is no reconciliation of hell. Do you see that? Notice that in our passage we read in Colossians, it says, I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. There is no reconciliation in hell. Although every being in hell will bow to God, only those in heaven and earth are reconciled. In what way are they reconciled? And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death. That's how it's accomplished. That's how the work happens. Now, the death of Christ is what reconciled the world to God by placing them in a relationship whereby they could be able, through Christ, to go to heaven. You and I can't go to heaven any other way. I've been to many funerals over the last 26 years of ministry, and I've listened as preachers preach people into heaven. They're people that did not possess, they had taken up arms against God and fought against God all their life, but miraculously, when they died, somehow they had turned to Jesus. Now, I'm not mocking in any way deathbed repentance. I believe in that. I believe in that. I believe that God can save sinners, but I also know that when someone shows no sign or inclination to be reconciled to God, that once they go, there's no way we can do it for them. And there's no reason to lie about it either. All we can do is preach to those that are yet alive. I can't make a person saved or lost. That's not my job. My job is to preach to them Jesus Christ and the word of reconciliation. And that's the message that needs to be preached today. You see, when Adam sinned in the garden, he died spiritually. He became alienated and separated from God with no capacity for God. That is the condition of the world today. And God had to judge that in His wrath upon Jesus Christ. Now that Christ has died, the position of the world has been changed. The world now is in a different relationship. And I say the world because the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave Him His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I want you to know today that the world's in a different relationship now because God has reconciled all the people of the world and all the people that have ever lived on this earth and will live upon this earth. He's reconciled them unto Himself. Now it's their responsibility to be reconciled to God in their own heart. That's, everyone is a sovereign individual. You make your choice. Actually, you already made your choice. You made your choice with Adam. Now what you have to do is be reconciled unto God. I found this poem not too long ago. "On Him almighty vengeance fell that would have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a chosen race and thus becomes our hiding place." That's a change of relationship. That's reconciliation. God is reconciled. You don't need to do one thing to win God over. You understand that? You don't have to go to God and plead your case. All you have to do is turn your case over to Him. That's all you have to do. You don't have to shed tears to soften the heart of God. I heard a song not too long ago. Shed your tears and soften the heart of God. Let me tell you something. There's nothing you can do. God's heart has already been tender toward the sinner. Amen? Have you sent your Son to die for anybody or anything? I don't think so. God sent His almighty Son to die in your place. So your tears aren't going to soften God one iota. You can cry. You can do all kinds of things. You know, it's an amazing thing. He loves you. Now, this is what the world needs to hear. What are you and I doing to get this word of reconciliation out to a lost world? God is reconciled. What a message! Be ye reconciled unto God. Christian, you and I are members of God's Peace Corps. I want you to think of it that way. You and I are members of God's Peace Corps. We're not to go out there and tell people, "Now take your hose and turn them into, plows. Take your sword now and turn it into something useful." No, our responsibility is to tell people about Jesus Christ. Be ye reconciled. Blessed are the peacemakers. Are you understanding now what that phrase is talking about? Very important. In his book, Peace Child, Don Richardson tells about his long struggle to bring the gospel to the Sawi cannibals and headhunters of Irian Jaya, Indonesia. I don't know if I said that right or not. But I've appreciated that book over the years. Try as he would, he could not find a way to make the people understand the gospel message. This is how bad it was. When he preached to them about Jesus Christ dying on the cross, they were sullen-faced. But when he told them about Judas having betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, they all clapped and applauded. They honored Judas. Why? Because their life was a life of treachery. That's what they did to people. That's how they deceived their enemies, and that's how they killed them and ate them, was through deception. They would bring somebody from another tribe and they would treat them so kindly and they would bring food to them, and then they would lower the inhibitions of that person and then kill him and eat him. Deception and treachery. And Don Richardson was having a very difficult time, and he prayed, said, "Lord, these people honor Judas, and I want them to honor Jesus. How do I get that message across?" Sally villages were constantly fighting among themselves, and because treachery, revenge, and murder were highly honored, there seemed to be no hope of communicating the message of the gospel to these people. However, these people had a custom used very rarely that if one village gave a baby to another village, peace would prevail between the two villages as long as the child lived. Don Richardson, when he heard that, he watched it take place. Said there was a big fight out in front of his hut. He went outside, and there had been bloodshed and so forth like that. And the chief went over, realizing that this bloodshed had to stop. He went over and took his own child from his wife's arms. She was screaming, took the child and took the child over to the other side and left the child with them and backed away with his hands raised, declaring peace. And Don Richardson said, "That's how I'm going to communicate. Jesus Christ is the peace child. Jesus Christ is the one who gave Himself, and reconciliation was made possible." He seized upon that opportunity, and it wasn't long before the people began to grasp and understand through the teaching of the Word of God and through the work of the Holy Spirit, and peace came to that Sawi village. Those that ate others stopped eating others because of the gospel. You know, it was interesting. He didn't have to hold seminars on what was the proper diet of the cannibal. We don't eat people anymore. I want you to come to my Food Network special as we teach you about what to eat. No, he didn't have to do that. When Jesus Christ came into the hearts of those people, they knew it was sin and it was wrong. And cannibalism stopped in the Sawi village. Isn't that amazing of how the gospel works? Folks, reconciliation is powerful. It's a change of relationships. And I do not agree today with what we see today, where we are loading the church up and burdening the church with all of these programs because we've got pornographers and we've got drunks and we've got drug addicts that are supposedly Christians, and we've got to somehow work on them and get them through this. What they need is reconciliation. That's what they need. They need to be transformed by the gospel. If God can take a cannibal and save a cannibal, and that cannibal know that killing and eating a human being is wrong, then God can do anything. He can take a pornographer and clean up his mind. He can take a drunk and clean up his life, because that's what the gospel does. That's what the gospel does. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. If the Father is the source of peace and the Son is the manifestation of peace, then the Holy Spirit gives to those in whom He resides the fruit of peace. Galatians 5:22. The God of peace sent the Prince of peace, who sends the Spirit of peace to give the fruit of peace in the Christian's life. This is the ministry of reconciliation. It is no wonder that the Trinity is called Yahweh Shalom in Judges chapter 6, verse 24. You know what that means? The Lord is peace. That's a whole other study on that, just those two words, Yahweh Shalom. Four things characterize a peacemaker as we close this morning. Number one, a peacemaker is one who himself or herself has made peace with God. Only those who belong to the Maker of peace can be the messengers of peace to a lost world. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 15, but God hath called us to peace. That's what the gospel does. It transforms a heart. Number two, a peacemaker leads others to make peace with God. Do you understand your ministry and your role as a saved, born-again believer? Your job is to be a member of God's Peace Corps. Your job is to be an ambassador carrying forth the word of reconciliation to tell others. Acts 10 verse 36 says, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ." That's what Peter preached. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Be ye reconciled unto God. That's the heart of the gospel. Number three, a peacemaker helps others make peace with others when possible. Romans 12 and verse 18. "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." I'm so thankful for the fellowship that we enjoy here at Grace Bible Church. We have a very special thing, but it's not of our doing, is it? It's the work of God in our hearts. God gives us a love for each other. We want to pray for each other. We want to hold each other. Many of you have been praying for a year for our young people going off to camp today because you love them. And you want to see God's best in their heart and life. You want to see them transformed. We want to see them taking their place in service. We want them to be reconciled unto God and for them to take up that ministry. That doesn't happen by accident. It must be God's work in their lives. And then number four, a peacemaker, now listen to me, a peacemaker never encourages others to compromise purity in order to make peace. Now I'm going to say that again. A peacemaker never encourages others to compromise purity in order to make peace, and that's what's going on in the church today. Would you listen to James chapter 3, verses 17 through 18? "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure." It's holy. Now get this. "Then peaceable." God puts things in order. Listen to this again. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." In other words, let's put that word reconciliation, is sown in reconciliation of them that make reconciliation. What's first though? Purity. Purity. We've left that today in the church. We've left our separation unto God and we're embracing the culture today and we're saying, "You're welcome in the church. We're bringing the culture." Wait a minute. No. The wisdom that is from God is first pure, then peaceable, easy to be entreated. That's how God has established things. And so the peacemaker does not have peace at any cost. The peacemaker honors God's holiness and purity in the peacemaking. Amen? That's the ministry of reconciliation that God has given to us. Peacemakers are called sons of God. This is not how they become sons of God. That can only happen by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. John 1:12. By making peace, believers manifest themselves as sons of God, and God will one day acknowledge them as people who bear the family likeness. How do you bear the family likeness of God this morning? Have you been reconciled unto God? Brand new relationship. The weapons of war laid aside and the embracing of God's peace, because He is the one that has reconciled us unto Himself, and we recognize that reconciliation. We recognize that peace that only He can give. If you're here this morning without the Savior, you need to fall down before Him and cry out to Him and ask Him to do His work in your heart to bring you to the place where you're reconciled to God. Until you come to that place, you're lost. There's nothing more that can be done. You've got to come to the place where you say, "Lord, I repent. I repent of being at enmity with Thee. I lay down my weapons of warfare. And Lord, I cast myself totally and completely before Thee." Recognizing the reconciliation that You made possible for me, whereby I can come to Thee as a lost sinner and have His righteousness. Have a new relationship with God. Would you bow your heads, please? This verse of Scripture is so powerful. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children or the sons of God. I wonder if there's someone here this morning that would say, Pastor Brainerd, I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm very religious. I've been religious for many, many years, but I've realized this morning that I've never been reconciled to God. I've never laid down my weapons of warfare. I'm still at odds with God. I have sin in my heart and life, and I need to come to Him this morning. If you're here without the Savior this morning, would you come and get that matter settled? There's no reason for you to leave this church building this morning lost and undone. God has reconciled you unto Himself through Jesus Christ. And He calls you this morning to be reconciled. You've got to come to the place where you realize you're a sinner, that you realize that your religion will get you nowhere, and that you must come His way. I pray the Holy Spirit would work in your heart this morning if you're lost, to bring you to that place. Christian, this morning you have a responsibility as well. You've been given as an ambassador of Jesus Christ a ministry. It is the ministry of peacemaking, or the ministry of reconciliation. And we are to carry the word of reconciliation to a lost and dying world. I wonder, Christians, if there are some here this morning who say, I'm not the right kind of witness I ought to be. I've not been carrying the ministry of reconciliation or the word of reconciliation to those that I know. And this morning, by God's grace, I want to change that. I want to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ. If you desire for me to pray for you this morning, would you just slip up your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, shape, or form. I see that hand. Thank you. See that hand. I need to be a peacemaker, not in the world sense or not in liberal theologian sense, but in the sense of the Bible. Father, I thank You for this time together this morning. I thank You for the Word of God. And I pray this morning that You might continue to work in hearts. Lord, You've entrusted to us the Word of reconciliation, the Word of peace, that the Father has reconciled lost sinners unto Himself, and the logjam of sin and iniquity has been moved aside. And now the way of Jesus Christ is made clear. Sinners can come to God through Jesus Christ. What a wonderful message. I pray that we might give it out faithfully, without fear, and clearly. Now, Father, I pray that You'd work in the hearts of those who may be lost this morning. We pray that the Holy Spirit of God would take the testimony of what we've shared today and we might see lost sinners saved today before it's too late. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you take your hymn book, please, and join me by turning to number 485. 485, we're going to stand together as we conclude our service today. If you'd like to speak with me afterwards or speak with someone else, I would be glad to take you aside and show you from God's Word how you can know this reconciliation, whereby you can enjoy the peace of God through Jesus Christ. Let's stand as we sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Whose way are we desiring as we sing this song? My way? No. We want God's way. 485, Have Thine Own Way. Father, we thank You for the time that we've spent together in worship of Thee through the study of Your Word. Lord, I pray that You might raise up some peacemakers among the people of Grace Bible Church, people that will carry forth the message of reconciliation to those that we know are without the Savior. Lord, it's not a hard ministry because we're endued with power from on high to carry out that work. We just have to take up that ministry and carry it out faithfully. One of the clearest identifications that we are sons of God is the fact that we carry forth the word of reconciliation. And so, Father, I pray that You'd work in the hearts and lives of us today, that we would be faithful giving the gospel. And Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would work in those who may be here today without the Lord Jesus Christ. They know nothing of this reconciliation. Father, we pray that they might be reconciled to God today. And Father, we'll give You the glory for victories in hearts and lives, and we pray Your sustaining hand of protection upon us all as we go our ways. Pray that You'll bring us back together again this evening, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.